We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Doug Cenceri joins us right now, our friend, WWL legal analyst and host of All Things Legal, to talk about the Saints game. I know what he's had to say before, but something was cited yesterday, and I'll get his opinion on it. Hey, Doug, how you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Let me ask you this. You know, everything about law is precedent, right?
Yes.
So yesterday in the court ruling, the case of Jaguar v. Browns was cited. In terms of Rule 17, that goes back to a game in 2001 where apparently the Browns fans became very unruly, throwing a bunch of stuff on the field. The refs called the game with 48 seconds left, I think it was. Then Commissioner Paul Tagliabue said, nope, you got to get out on the field and play it out. Does that have any bearing on what happened Sunday a week ago at all or not?
Well, I think when you're in the Saints season ticket holder's position, you just got to grab what you can, throw it against the wall. And I think there's a little bit of a distinction. It wasn't a replay of the game. It was the completion of the game as opposed to going back in some part of the game and replaying it. I think you don't have a lot of good precedent for this because I think what the NFL says – if you're able to file a lawsuit based on a bad call, that may open up the floodgates of litigation. Because how do you determine the standard of a bad call? Is it, if it's a bad call, a really bad call, a super bad call, or, you know, a game-changing bad call? So, you know, to classify bad calls and say these type of bad calls you can file lawsuits on and these other type of bad calls you can't, and that on these type of bad calls, you invoke Rule 17, and the other kind of bad calls you don't, would cause more problems in the future than it would solve. I'm not exonerating the NFL.
No, I know.
I think the lawsuit does serve a purpose in showing the general incompetence of the leadership of the NFL and the inability to manage a championship in a way that's fair, but you know, again, I think there's other considerations that make it very difficult. So I think what the season ticket holders attorneys are doing, they're just trying to grab some type of precedent that gives them a basis to stay in the ballgame, so to say.
You have to prove injury, don't you?
Yeah, first of all, you have to prove you have the right to file a lawsuit. And one of the first defenses of the NFL is season tickets do not have the standing to file the lawsuit. In football terms, they're saying they don't have a ticket to the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, possibly in a different scenario, the only people who could enforce it may be owners, players, under certain circumstances. But they say a season ticket holder is too remote to file a lawsuit. And, you know, no matter what the wrong is, they don't have the standing or to file a lawsuit, or they shouldn't be given a ticket to allow to play in the game, you know, put it in colloquial terms.
So a class action or this amicus curiae thing where people file motions on behalf of the court or they group them together in a class, what about that?
Well, I think what happened was the court was a little confused because I think the lawsuit was written as a class action. And the judge said yesterday, is this a class action? What do you really want? Do you want money? Do you want some type of relief? And also inside that class action suit or inside the lawsuit was something called a writ mandamus, which says it's a request, or usually it's for government to do something they're supposed to do. But it also can be used for corporations and, a limited liability company is saying, hey, we want a court order for the officer in this corporation to follow its own rules. That's what the mandamus says. And that's some type of relief that is immediate. Because if you just did an ordinary lawsuit, this would go on for a year or two. So what they filed is a writ of mandamus asking for the commission, for the court to order the commission to replay the game or investigate what happened. Now, the judge has pretty much said, hey, I mean, or the attorneys have said, look, it's really not about money. We want basically what we want is the Saints game, you know, be replayed, Super Bowl possibly be postponed, and then get a true champion for the NFC. And I think Judge Morgan's going to come out with a ruling today saying, you know, it just can't happen. There's too many factors that make that not viable.
I don't know if you want to talk about the judge at all, but could this have pretty well been decided yesterday? And are we just kind of maybe trying to appease the Houdat Nation a little bit by thinking about it overnight? Or do you think there's some actual legal stuff going on here?
Well, I think from any judge, they know that the eyes of the nations are looking at her. Or him. This is Judge Morgan. And I mean, it's been far. She's very thoughtful and she's very smart. And so I think she just wants to get it right. She wants to get the right decision based on the right reasons, not necessarily the right decision based on the wrong reasons or, you know, some wrong or wrong weren't there. So she wants to make sure that she gets it right, and her thought process and her logic to getting it right makes sense, because she knows the entire nation is going to read this opinion.
Somebody texted this in, and I'm open the phone lines because I think it's an excellent question or an observation that you may or may not agree with. The text says, total waste of time. The longer the complaining goes on, the worse New Orleans looks. And that's strictly a subjective thing, and I'd love to hear from you at 260-1870. Now, back to Doug Cenceri, our legal analyst, host of All Things Legal, and one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. It's true, Doug. When it comes to the appeals process here, if Judge Morgan, is that her name?
Judge Morgan.
Judge Morgan. Morgan, yeah. If she says, you know what, for whatever reason, the legality of you have no standing, this, that, the other thing, what happens then? Can Frank D'Amico, the strong arm of the law, I might add, appeal this or not?
Yeah, well, he had to be super strong to appeal and win it, because he'd go to the United States.
You would need some really strong arms.
Strong arms, that's right.
Might be time for some steroids.
That's right. You go to U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is right across the street. Mm-hmm. And they sort of have a reputation to, you know, that's more, would be not, I want to say less receptive to these type of claims. They're probably more receptive to the business point of view. I'm saying this very generally, not specifically. But
can we file this in the Ninth Circuit?
No. Okay. You have to go within, you know, within the jurisdiction of the United States District Court for the Eastern District, which is right across the street. So no, you would go to the Fifth Circuit, and you know, that's some tough sledding there. I think they would have a tougher venue than they would in federal court. And look, that's why they wanted to remove it out of state court. They didn't want a state elected state judge who, not to say they would be a homer, but they would be more receptive to the argument. Whereas a federal judge is, you know, that's one of the purposes of a federal judge is that if you have an out of state defendant, that, you know, they may not proceed to get hometowned. And so I think this is their best shot. You know, you can appeal, but I think you go from a very, very 0.1% chance of prevailing to a 0.0001%.
But there's still a chance.
There is a chance that we could have an earthquake tomorrow today in New Orleans too. So, but I mean, it's not much. I mean, I think what it does from a practical standpoint, it sort of exposes, it makes the NFL take a position that they wouldn't before, and why they did certain things. Whereas, Roger Goodell sitting up there like a mute who's trying to pretend it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at least a lawsuit is getting the NFL to make a stand on it and, you know, state something for the record. It's not going to change anything, but it gets them to, it sort of smokes them out and says, okay, this is what we think about this. This is how we're dealing with it. Or this is how we're not dealing with it, as opposed to just not saying anything.
Well, along the lines of dealing with it, Mark has a question. Hey, Mark, you're on with Doug. Good morning.
How you doing, Doug? How you doing, Tommy?
Hey,
and I have a question. I understand that there was an affidavit that was issued by the commissioner that stated that the commissioner does not have the authority to overrule an official.
Go ahead, Doug.
My question is, if the commissioner doesn't have the authority to overrule call once an official makes it, how can the NFL follow up with a helmet-to-helmet penalty if it was not called?
Well, I think those
are overruling the official.
But no, I think it's two different things. I mean, I think I'm going to say what the NFL is saying is two different things. You can be fined for something on the field that you didn't get penalized for. You know, like, for example, if you're walking off, you know, after the game and you have one of the players, you know, get in a fight or, you know, accost an official or do something like that. I think there's two components of it. There's missing a judgment call and then the NFL looking at general behavior on the field and finding someone. So, in other words, you might have a coach who, during the game, cursed out a referee or put his hands on him or something like that, and a penalty wasn't called. But yet the NFL reviews that film later and says, nah, you can't do that as a matter of policy, therefore we're going to fine you.
So
now,
the relief.
It does show.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doug. We're running out of time.
So it does. I mean, it does show that they blew the call, but it doesn't preclude the NFL from finding that particular player or coach for that behavior.
That's what I thought. In other words, the relief would be a fine, not a replay or this or that or the other thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, real quick, Mark, somebody said that the longer this goes on, the worse it makes New Orleans look. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I do agree with that, but I mean, at the same time, the fans are tired of the NFL, especially with Goodell and the whole bounty gate. And we've been punched twice by the NFL. And, I mean, we're really getting tired of it.
Totally agree. Thank you, Mark. I'm glad you called. Doug, anything you want to add about this whole thing?
Yeah, where is Jim Finks when you need him?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Doug used to work with the NFL and sports agents and so forth. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate your time. What about cost on this thing quickly? Who gets the cost on this, pays for it? Is it the court? Or?
I think the plaintiffs, when they get dismissed, they'll have to pay the court costs. I don't see that the cost is going to be that much. Most of the cost will be the time the attorneys took to put into this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think some of them think maybe, you know, I might get it back later with the good publicity.
Yeah.
You know?
The NFL lawyer here that's based here, his name is Gladstone Jones.
Yes, yes.
If there's such thing as reincarnation, when I come back, I want my name to be Gladstone Jones.
I know. All you need is a cowboy hat, you know,
yeah,
and some boots when he walks in the court. Man, that'd be something else.
Maybe Gladstone Tucker. Thank you, Doug. Gladstone
all
Sinceri
right,
sounds
right.
Pretty good, too. Have a great day. Thanks for taking the time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.